Excuse me. Our next presenter is Alexandria Garcia, and she'll tell you about herself.
Mary Ellen's catching a flight. Thank you. Safe travels.
Thank you. Everybody safe travels.
Hi, everybody. I am actually surprised to see such a large audience at this time of day and this day of the week, and I'm very glad to see you all. I am a faculty at University of Texas at Austin. Linda Carpenter is actually one of my many bosses, my most immediate boss. She's director of the Division of Family and Public Health Nursing and Nursing Administration, the Everything But Adult Health Division. Let's see what I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to tell you that we don't have any personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation to disclose. I'm going to tell you about our study abroad immersion program that we started. And I wasn't around for the beginning when this was first developed. Linda Carpenter is one of the faculty members who first started our program, and she cites these milestones that influenced our school's decision to go this direction. The ANA guidelines that came out in 1986, addressing cultural diversity in nursing curricula, and the AACN position statement on diversity and equality of opportunity that came out in 97, the goal to create a community of culturally competent scholars with the appreciation of a worldview of interconnectivity and community. And there are so many definitions of cultural competence. The one that I'm speaking to today comes from an article by one of my colleagues, Lynn Rue, who we used her instrument to measure cultural competence to evaluate this program, but she refers, like many people, to a process of learning to work with people from diverse cultural backgrounds using interpersonal communication, relationship skills, and behavioral flexibility. And really, she's talking about four different components: cultural awareness, cultural sensitivity, cultural knowledge and skills, and the corresponding domains of learning that go along with those components: affective, attitudinal, cognitive, and behavioral. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but faculty need to start with their awareness of their own cultural beliefs and how they influence our own attitudes and behaviors. Faculty must know how students of different cultures may experience learning differently, faculty must incorporate diverse perspectives in their curriculum and use a variety of teaching methods. A little bit about study abroad programs. There are a lot of students these days attending study abroad programs. In the U.S., I think this is 2004-2005 numbers, over 200,000 students studied abroad in the U.S., an increase of 100% over the last 10 years, and 7.7 in the years 03 to 04, which I think there are even more now. And 154 study abroad programs specific to nursing, and other ones that are not specific to nursing but would address broader health issues. Our study abroad program started, or really came off of, a course that our school developed, a required course for all of our undergraduate students called Spanish for Healthcare Professionals. It's people called it medical Spanish for a long time, and we finally figured out, no, it's nursing Spanish. So it's developed, a course developed in collaboration with our Spanish department. We have two levels for beginning and advanced Spanish speakers, and teaching Spanish for specific nursing tasks, assessment and teaching predominantly. And it's a required course, or it could, for undergrads or graduates, can take it as an elective. So from that required course, which really one semester course is really not enough to make anyone proficient in dealing with Spanish-speaking patients and clients and community contacts, but it is an introduction. So in 2004, our school applied for Maymester funds. These are funding from our provost's office for programs abroad, and it was a 4-week study abroad immersion program. And the faculty member who taught it was also teaching our summer public health nursing course for our accelerated master students getting their RN. And so she incorporated, sort of by accident, I think, opportunities for those students to meet their public health learning objectives, because those two courses overlapped in time, and to allow them to go in the May semester, she developed opportunities for them to meet those objectives. And then since then, it's been a summer course the last 3 years. It's now 6 weeks and 6 credits in Spanish for healthcare professionals and an elective. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it. We've been going to Guadalajara, which is there in Mexico, fairly central Mexico. It's beautiful if you haven't been there. It's the second largest city in Mexico. I've seen figures of 4 million to 6 million people, but it's not as urban. I think before I went, I was expecting something. It is urban, but not as maybe densely urban as I was expecting. It's quite spread out. The program components. All of our students go to we have partnerships with the University of Guadalajara Language School for Spanish for foreigners or foreign. They have students from all over the world coming to learn, university students coming to learn Spanish. And they get Spanish grammar and conversation. And then we also have a special class just for our students. They're mixed in with a general language school population for the general Spanish, and then our students get a particular course focusing on vocabulary and phrases and interaction. And then we also incorporate a lot of cultural and community contact with healthcare agencies and service organizations in the community. And here's just a little bit about what our program involves. It includes a homestay with Mexican families that turns out very, very well. That's a very important part of our program, that they live with a family for 6 weeks. Contact with healthcare systems here. They're touring the Hospital Civil, the very old and hospital that serves predominantly indigent patients. They practice their communication skills. So I guess students want to practice a lot of nursing skills, and by that they mean clinical bandage changing, giving injections, and we don't allow them to do that. This program, but we do want them to practice their Spanish skills and their talking skills or communication skills with people in the community and in healthcare agencies and healthcare settings and community settings. We have a variety of students, from pre-nursing students to graduate NP and doctoral students. We have non-nursing students in pre-med or other natural sciences. And we also have a variety of skills, from zero Spanish skills when they go down to some native speakers who are nearly perfectly fluent or are fluent, just don't have the formal grammar and so on. So trying to design something that fits everybody has been really challenging. And working with the constraints of the calendar of the University of Guadalajara. So there are things that we could change and things that we can't. The students, after visiting the healthcare sites that we go to as part of their practicing Spanish, develop some health education and deliver that health education. In the one picture, they're teaching yoga to some patients at a hospital, and another they go to a daycare center and they're teaching about oral health, I think, in that class. They also, we've partnered with public health nurses from the University of Guadalajara School of Nursing, and we go to a impoverished area that they've been working with consistently for several years. They've been doing ongoing health assessments and health fairs, and we've been working with them and with the church. The Catholic Church is the main resource in that area to participate in that ongoing assessment and health education. So our students are giving health fairs here in these two slides. And we collaborate with the University of Guadalajara nursing students, partly for the language skills, partly for the intercultural exchange, and partly because they have an ongoing relationship with that community. So on the right, they're going door to door with the University of Guadalajara students, doing some health and environmental assessments of the neighborhood. This is actually one of the sounder houses. I don't think I included slides that show some of the really, really destitute conditions that people are living in, really living outdoors. But the students do get a lot out of working with the nursing students from Guadalajara. Here's a parade that was part of the health fair that we were involved with. And really, I have to credit the University of Guadalajara students are just pros at working with this community. So community assessment is part of the ongoing practice that they engage in. And some of their assignments relate to reflective journals and examining social determinants of health for a condition that they're interested in or a concern that they're interested in. If someone had diabetes, what resources are available, and how would they get their care and given their circumstances. And we do some cultural immersion about the history and the art and so forth of Mexico. So, like many program evaluations, I don't think we set out to formally evaluate the program initially. And over the years, we've been trying different methods to try and figure out what it is about this program that works. We get a lot of informal positive feedback about it, but how can we say that it's really working? So we were trying to find out how the study abroad experience influenced our students' awareness, sensitivity, knowledge, and skills, and what effect it would have on their clinical practice. So a couple of years ago, we started getting IRB approval and the students' consent to participate in this program evaluation. We asked them to fill out the cultural awareness survey that was developed by Rue and colleagues, and then after the trip, and then we also asked them to write some written responses to some open-ended questions, and then we try and round them up for individual or group interviews, but it's always hard to get them back after the program. Our beautiful students. So I have some information from 35 of our respondents. We have different numbers going we've had 12 to 22 students going every year for the past few years. These are data from students from 2007 and 2008 that included 6 pre-nursing students, 22 undergrads, 6 graduate students, and 1 pre-med student. Mostly female, but 5 males out of 35, which is a nice dynamic. And some diversity among our students, predominantly white students, but also Hispanic, Asian, and African American. Their level of Spanish, those numbers were supposed to be bigger. I keep changing it and it never saves that change. But the purple color here, level 5 to 6, there are about 9 students out of 10 levels. But the largest category is this dark purple area where we had 15 students in levels 1 to 2. So just a few who were very native speakers, but otherwise kind of a broad spread of their language abilities. We use the cultural awareness survey. It has 38 items. We only used the 30 that didn't require reverse coding. The reverse coding items, even with our educated sample, did not work. They weren't consistently answered, or they didn't give useful data. So we used the 30 items. We used a 7-point Likert response scale. And the alpha, the internal consistency, said was about 0.8. Just to show you that there are 12 items about general educational experience, 7 about their cognitive awareness. We used 1 item about their comfort with interaction. The other items in that scale were required reverse coding, so they fell out. 5 items were related to how it would affect their clinical practice, and 5 items just about their post-experience perspectives. And I'll give you a little bit about each one. Generally, on the scale of 1 to 7, 7 meaning a high score on that content, scores were generally pretty high. Here are the mean scores about their general educational experiences in the whole school of nursing program were 5.3 out of 7. And so the survey that I have, it worked okay, but it doesn't necessarily address specifically, I think, what we're asking. It's asking about general information or general experiences at the university. Instructors seem comfortable with the people from different cultures, and lower scores on classroom experiences helping students. So let's see what else. Their attitudes were also pretty high to start with. This is before they even went, 5.4. And their clinical practice was also high. And I'm just going to cruise on because I don't think these cultural awareness survey questions are as helpful. They're generally, I guess the point is that students who are going on these study abroad are already scoring pretty high on their perceptions of cultural awareness and cultural skills, and they already think that they're pretty sensitive before they even go. So, and that's the challenge of evaluating cultural immersion programs, is that people who engage in them, they're not a random sample. They're already people that if you have the guts to go and the interest in going and the ability to find money to pay for it, that you already are different maybe than the average student. But I'll share with you some of the comments from their reflective logs and from their written responses. About their language skills, they all improved their language skills over 6 weeks. I've noticed tremendous improvements in both my understanding and my ability to speak Spanish. And there's always a component of frustration. I'm getting frustrated with my Spanish skills, which is making class muy difícil. It's, you know, the immersion program is exhausting for them, and you have a little bit of cultural shock in the beginning and some burnout before things get better again. But the homestay is so important. Our host mom finally banned us from speaking English in the house, which severely limits the amount I can actually talk about. She says we need to practice our Spanish. And that's the danger if you have more than one student in a house, that they are likely to speak English. We encourage them to make contracts with each other to limit their English speaking to 1 hour a day, but they don't always stick to that. So they were definitely bolder in speaking their Spanish. Cultural knowledge. The most interesting information was how different the available resources are and how well they do for what they have. We definitely take for granted the resources available to us. The cultural knowledge and the growing awareness of Mexican influences makes people much more aware of their U.S. counterpart, and I think that is the major advantage of an immersion program. One student said, I grew up close to Mexico, but actually, I think she was from El Paso, but actually living in the country allowed me to learn more and be a part of the culture. And a lot of them talk about being more open-minded and having more respect for people from other cultures, so thank goodness for that. Okay, impact on future practice. Were generally very positive. I will have more empathy for patients who are foreigners, having been one. I didn't think culture affected medical decisions, but now I'm aware of this and plan on practicing with these ideas in mind. Things that they don't say out loud. I was a culturally aware person to start with, but this trip reinforced how important it is to take others' cultures in with open arms and eyes. Culture influences all parts of life, and it's important to take that in consideration for yourself and your patient. I left the clinical site with new thoughts about life and how I'm living it. I have to change my thinking. So made us feel like we were making a difference with these students and gives us encouragement to keep planning for this course. And there certainly are a lot of barriers to implementing this course. You never know. It's surprising how hard it is to get faculty to lead a study abroad course. There are different ways of, you know, we could just send students there and have them be there without our faculty, but we really think, and I know that, for instance, I'll tell you, a couple years ago when students went to that very impoverished neighborhood that first day, the faculty who were there were not terribly supportive I think they just were in shock themselves. So it speaks to the need to prepare the faculty for cultural shock as well as the students. And I arrived, we were kind of doing shifts. I arrived about 2 days after that and luckily was able to debrief the students and talk with them and bring in public health concepts that they maybe because of the level of the students weren't aware of. So it was interesting to see the students working together and noticing this overwhelming amount that could be done or needed to be done or that they wanted to do for this poor community, and to be able to talk with them about prioritizing and short-term and long-term impact and interventions. And one student was talking about, well, we could do more of an assessment to try and get some information so that we could take it back to the States and get donors to give us money to take with them. And then another student said, oh, but that's not nursing. And to hear one student go, or it was like three students said, yes, it is. It was like, oh, thank goodness. They're teaching each other, and they're just really engaged in it. So the evaluation is a separate issue that we're still struggling with. Students, as I said, are already culturally aware. And but yet we're gonna keep pursuing it. And I think that's all I have. I'm certainly out of time. Okay. But feel free to contact me if you have any questions afterwards. I'd like to hear more about your study abroad programs too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We should have a little time at the end for questions. Our next presentation